Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
1 o'clock is here. Sarah Cazella's here. What's up, Sarah?
What's up?
How are you guys doing?
I'm good. Everyone's good?
I was going to do a silly voice, but I didn't know which one to do.
Too many options.
Yeah.
I got rave reviews from exactly one person on my Hormone Monster impersonation yesterday. So that's better than I really have ever
gotten
before.
That's good.
Thank you.
Have you watched the new season, by the way?
No. I don't know why. I think we were just really busy when it came out. We keep forgetting. Have you?
No, I started watching
it. Yeah,
I think that show
jumped the shark.
I think this is season 4.
Yeah.
Yes.
Season 3, I kind of got to the point where I'm like, this is getting dumb now.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. So we'll see if I
And I think I got there even quicker than you did.
Yeah. Mm.
At the beginning, I'm like, I can't believe they're saying this stuff.
You can do anything when it's animated.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly.
Big Mouth is the show we're talking about,
yes,
for anybody who doesn't know.
Yeah.
Don't watch it with your kids.
No.
Certainly do not watch it with your kids. Oh, gosh. Or anyone that doesn't have a real sick sense of humor. Welcome.
That reminds me of the time
studies.
That I went to go see the movie Sausage Party in the cartoon, the Seth Rogen cartoon.
Oh, I'm not familiar.
With all the food come to life.
No.
I saw that in the theater. By the way, horrible, horrible movie.
Wait, the movie about food coming to life,
yes,
was bad?
Oh, it, yeah, it
Who
was terrible.
Who could have seen that coming?
But a guy brought in like 5 kids with him and sat through about 20 minutes of some of the most offensive stuff I've ever seen. On a
Wow.
He's like, well, this isn't a kid's movie.
Wow.
You dad of the year. What took you so long to figure that one out?
The movie called Sausage Party was not for children. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Welcome into Social Studies, everybody. That is funny stuff. Please do follow the show account on Twitter at Bickley_Murata, typically manned by Jarrett Carlin, but we've got Young Jesse at the controls this week. Thank you, Young Jesse.
Yeah, and you can follow me on Twitter at Jesse.
Once was generous, twice is too much. Okay, welcome into Social Studies, everybody.
Advertising costs money on the radio.
That's right, Jesse.
Hey, you want me to do an endorsement for your Twitter account? Pay me.
Yeah,
how much?
That's right.
All right, let's start out by revisiting a question we actually did yesterday, but after last night's game between the Jazz and the Clippers, has your mind changed at all? The Clippers just ran over the Jazz. So has your mind changed at all or confirmed further who you want the Suns to face in the Western Conference Finals? You want the Jazz? You want the Clippers?
Yeah, as we've discussed frequently. See, now, Young Jesse, when you craft these social study questions, because I've had to chide Jarrett Carlin about this, the goal is to introduce content that has not already been talked about on the show. That's the goal. Don't ask questions of us that we've spent 3 hours talking about. That is the goal. Now, listen, you're filling in for Jared, so I'm gonna stop hammering you right now.
Well, you have
or
to,
maybe in 2 minutes.
No, you have to realize, too, that Jarrett trained Jesse.
Okay, that's another thing. The fact that they have Jarrett training anybody is really just a...
It's alarming.
It's alarming. That's a good word for it, Sarah.
Yeah, it's...
So, to answer your question, but I'll indulge. In terms of last night, the Kawhi Leonard dunk did confirm for me that I want to avoid the Clippers at all costs. I don't know why, but especially the fact that they're allowing 100% capacity in L.A. starting today, you said?
That's right.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, to me, I get the Jazz are a really good team. I'll take the Jazz.
Okay.
I liked somebody's response, because this is a 50-50 poll. I liked somebody's response that said, we need a third choice for the confident Suns fan that says, we don't care.
Yeah.
Bring them on.
Yep.
And there's a good argument to be made for that, too. The Suns have been the most impressive team in the playoffs so far.
And I kind of said that at the very end of the blast, that for all the hand-wringing that we've done about this stuff, and for how much we've talked about how the path seems wide open now, it may not matter. They're playing at a level right now that is just overwhelming people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, the Jazz, I should say, are running away with it. 80% of our listeners today want to see the Jazz in the next round.
Not shocking, since they're coming off a garbage performance
last
night. Yes,
exactly. 20% voted for the Clippers. Josh Game Show says, I just did a 180 on that vote. Now I am begging for the Jazz.
That's funny.
Eric Butler says, we can beat either team handily. I just want home court. The Clippers are my choice. And then Troy Scott says something that quite a few listeners have said. I want the Jazz because it would just be nice to stick it to the Utah fan base.
That would be good, too.
Yeah, I see that. We're moving on to our next question, something that you guys have discussed. And Dan, your latest column is actually about this, talking about the Suns fan base. Here's a little pull quote for you. You write, halfway to the championship, home games at Phoenix Suns Arena have become merciless on the ears and the opponents. The crowd is young, diverse, and eager to contribute. The energy is even better than the noise. So we are asking, of these four options, what has been the best fan moment from the Suns playoff run so far? Is it Suns in four guy, who Devin Booker has wanted to be in touch with? Is it the shirtless?
Love that guy.
Y'all love that guy. Is it the shirtless kid, Blake, who just went for it on the Jumbotron a few games ago? Was it the fans showing up at the airport to welcome the team back from Denver? Or was it that group of those four young boys who were absolutely losing their minds a couple games ago?
Shirtless Blake, fans at the airport, kids excited after the dunk, all great.
Yeah.
Great theater for the fans this postseason. They've all been done before. We've never seen Suns and four guy before. And I will venture a guess we will never see anything like that ever again.
It was, and again, it's a guilty pleasure of mine because I understand this is violence. This is fan violence, and it is not to be celebrated. Except in this case. And it's because of the tagline. The Suns in four. Like, that was the point he had to make.
Yep. He called a shot.
Can't believe the voting is this close, quite honestly.
Really?
Yeah. It's 50% for Suns in four guy.
I was expecting at least 90% for Suns in four guy.
Right. After all, he's the only one, at least that I believe, has shirts being made with his face and tagline on them right now. 50% say Suns and four guy. 22% are sticking with Blake, the shirtless kid. 18% the fans at the airport. And then 11% for those four young kids stoked after, I think it was the Torrey Craig dunk, was it?
Yeah. You know who I feel bad for?
Who?
Guy Fieri. Completely shut
out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
An afterthought. That is so not gangsta.
So, Jesse, in your efforts to reach Suns and Four Guy, tell him we'll buy a couple of t-shirts if he comes on the radio. And then we'll give them away.
Okay, we'll do.
Sean says he is not a huge fan of sports violence, like you said, Dan, but there was ever a dude that deserved a few to the face, it was that Nuggets fan.
Yeah, there is something to be said for that.
Yeah. Moving on to our next question quickly to the Eastern Conference. Kyrie Irving, I believe, out for the rest of the Nets-Bucks series. I think, was it Shams who reported that?
I think it was Woj, too.
Well, okay.
And I think the language wasn't as absolute, but they're not expecting to have him back.
Okay, not expecting to have him. And then James Harden potentially playing tonight, depending on how he does in pregame with that hamstring. We're asking, do you believe that Kevin Durant, of the big three, the last standing of the big three, can shoulder the load for the Nets and beat Milwaukee without Kyrie and potentially Harden? Yes, he can. No, he cannot. The Bucks will win by 40.
It's a joke I made. I think he can. The Bucks are by far not close to a perfect team. We haven't seen it from Kevin Durant. So right. I think it's possible, but I would vote no. I don't think it will happen if that's the scenario that unfolds tonight. They do have that raucous Brooklyn crowd back in the house.
Right. Well, yeah. I'm going to go that route as well. I think this is a big moment for Giannis. Giannis won a couple of MVPs and did nothing with it in terms of getting his team to the NBA Finals, and people held that against him. Now he's got an opening against a marginalized Brooklyn team. And I think the Bucks are going to take advantage of it.
Okay. Man, this was not close. 71% of our voters say no. KD and Brooklyn cannot take down Milwaukee without his other two stars. 24% say yes, they still can. 4.6% say Bucks in 40, or by 40, rather.
I think a lot of that 71.5% is made up of people who just want to see Kevin Durant fail.
Oh, certainly.
Because of the path he's taken to get to this point.
Absolutely.
They just want to see him get crushed.
Nobody's rooting for him to overcome this. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank
As
you,
always,
Sarah.
Social studies every day at 1 o'clock. You can follow along, get involved on Twitter at @Bickley_Murata. Coming up next, there's been a lot of talk about the Jazz Clippers preference. Who do you want the Suns to face in the next round? Bick, you suggested a pros and cons list?
Yeah.
Let's make one.
All
next.
Right, let's do it.
Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Bickley and Murata talk Suns in the Western Conference Finals. Now.
Suns are in. We know this. We know that game one of the Western Conference Finals will either be on Sunday or on Tuesday, depending on how long this Clippers-Jazz series goes. And we've spent a lot of time over the last few days talking about who do you want to see the Suns play. It seems to be a debate for everybody, and I think everybody answers the question the same way. I know I did before even the Suns advanced to the Western Conference Finals, Bick, and that was, whew, that's a tough question.
Yep.
We asked the question. You asked the question to Amin Alhassan earlier today, and that's how he answered.
That's a tough one because I think the Jazz are the tougher team, the better team. But you know, Donovan Mitchell's hurt, and we know kind of like the hamstrings, the ankles. You don't give them rest, they tend to re-injure. There's a reason why he tweaked his game at the end of Game Two. He tweaked his ankle in the end of Game Three. And then Game 4, I think he had another kind of scare there where he hit the floor. This is going to be kind of repetitive for him because he's not getting the chance to rest it, to let it heal and snap back pretty much. On the other hand, it's the Clippers, right?
Right.
And like, look, Kawhi Leonard is better than anybody on all three of those teams that we just named. And so you have to respect that. You have to respect his championship pedigree and the fact that he's basically unguardable. But having said that, it's the Clippers. And we know that the Clippers tend to do Clipper things, right, one way or another.
Yeah.
And you know that Chris Paul probably, even though most of the characters are gone from when he was there, he probably wants to, you know, give him a little extra dig about, you know, how his exit happened and how, you know, he turned into the quote-unquote bad guy there. So I guess even though, like, a hobbled Donovan Mitchell, if he doesn't play, I like the Suns' chances against the Jazz without Donovan Mitchell out there. But I think the sure play is the Clippers because you know they go through these spells where they just don't try hard.
Which is a great thing to be identified.
Oh, I know.
Like, yeah, they're really good, really talented. They probably have a championship roster, but sometimes they just don't try very hard.
Yeah, and he also said something that I think is true of a lot of NBA players and some NBA teams is that times they just act too cool for school rather than just give 100% sincere effort and deal with the failure if it happens. The goofiness factor, the historical arc of the Clippers, I don't know what that means. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I get it. They're a sad sack franchise that has always found a way to implode in big moments.
Yes.
Does that mean this team carries those characteristics?
No. But when you have a label like the franchise label like that, it is hard to shake.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen it to a degree with the Suns over their history. Never won a championship. Finesse offensive team. Do they play enough defense? I mean, it's not as damning as the label that's on the Clippers right now, obviously, but we've seen franchises deal with that. I mean, did the Chicago Cubs in a 108-year drought without a World Series? That followed them forever, but it just started to manifest itself as part of the fabric of the franchise. I think that Clippers fact is part of the fabric of the franchise.
I think there is something
to a lesser degree
for that because the whole Steve Bartman incident with the Cubs happened because of their history.
Yes. And for a lot of those guys, you know, Kawhi was on that team last year. Paul George was on that team last year. Patrick Beverley, they went through that bubble collapse where they lost the 3-1 series lead against Denver. And everybody pointed to it again. And not only is it there when you look at, you know, things that could work for the Suns against the Clippers, not only is it there on a franchise level, it's there on a player level too. Paul George can't be talked about in the postseason without an analyst saying, you don't know what you're going to get.
No.
Are you going to get playoff PG? You're going to get pandemic PG?
You're going to get shoot the ball off the side of the backboard PG?
that too. Here's my quick list of pros and cons for each team. The pros of playing Utah. As Amin Alhassan said, Donovan Mitchell's not 100%.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing through it, and he's scoring a ton of points. But you never know when he could re-aggravate that thing. Pros, Suns, 3-0 versus Utah this year.
Yeah, that's a big pro.
Cons, their fan base is pretty rabid, pretty electric, just like the Suns fan base is right now. Their ability to shoot the three-pointer team-wide is downright frightening at times.
Mm-hmm. Joe Ingles.
Let me put another pro on there. The Mike Conley question.
Okay.
We don't know about him. I put Donovan Mitchell on the cons as well, because I think he's the best offensive player left in the Western Conference in terms of potential opponents for the Suns. And, of course, you don't have home court advantage if you play at Utah.
No, and that latter part does not bother me. In fact, I kind of think it would be a blessing to start this series on the road. Now, I may be way off base here.
Yeah.
But it just seems to me that if the Jazz are coming out of a Western Conference Finals that goes seven games, it's going to be a very emotional, taxing kind of deal. And the Suns will be prepping, and I think they're mature enough and smart enough, especially with Chris Paul and Monty, to navigate this break and use it for all the right reasons. And then you go into Salt Lake City, and if you win one of the first two games, you've got a fast lane to the NBA Finals. I think I like that scenario for some reason. I really do.
Let's face it, too, the Suns are the best road team in the NBA this year.
Yeah, and I think that is because they're built with guys who like that kind of environment, who love walking into an opposing arena and getting everybody to shh, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that home court advantage in Phoenix is definitely something that you'd want, but I just think that as I see the series playing out, I think it would actually work to the Suns' benefit.
Yeah. Clippers, pros and cons. The pros for the Suns, they're the Clippers, as Amin pointed out. They would have home court advantage if you consider that to be a big pro. Cons, Kawhi Leonard's a killer. Again, the uncertainty of Paul George could be listed as a pro or a con. The Suns did not match up great against them this year, going 1-2. And the advantage that we thought might occur in a Suns-Clippers series, in terms of the difference between the energy the Suns home fans will bring and the Clippers home fans will bring, that's been mitigated because today is reopening day in Southern California. So you're going to have 20,000 Clipper fans potentially there for any home games in that series. There's more cons on the Clippers list, so I'm sticking with Utah on this one.
Yeah, and I think the way that I said it earlier, this is, to me, the determining point, because I don't think the Phoenix Suns fear either one of these teams. I think the Suns believe that they're the best team in the West, and they've performed like it. I just think that the Clippers think that they're better than the Suns, and I don't think the Jazz feel that way. Mm-hmm. I think the Jazz would go into that series going, okay, we're even. Yeah. This is going to be good. I think the Clippers really rise to the challenge of playing Phoenix.
Good point.
And that's why I'd like to avoid them.
Yep. Coming up next, it's undisputed that Chris Paul has been a godsend for the Phoenix Suns, even with more work to do. The question is, after this year, will that work continue in Phoenix? We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford Poll Question on the homepage at arizonasports.com simply asks, do you think the Suns will make it to the finals? Yes or no?
Yes.
Got to have the belief at this point.
No, I
right?
do. It's a legit belief.
86% say yes. That's overwhelming, especially in a pessimistic city like Phoenix.
Yeah, right?
14% are on the no side right now. But that is today's Sanderson Ford poll question. And you can vote on it right now. It's at on the homepage at arizonasports.com.
I think
Chris Paul's importance to Phoenix is much greater than it is to maybe some other teams who don't know how well he'll fit or not. And for that reason, I would support maybe overpaying for him. Because if you don't, now you got to figure out, how can I replace him? Who can I get in here who can do some of the same things on the court, and then off the court also have the same type of relationship with my star players, with my young players, my rookies, all these guys, and my head coach? And I don't think there's many guys out there. I mean, the only other guy on the market I would point to is Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
And we know he's going to have a lot of attention from Philly, from Miami, from the Lakers over this next offseason.
Yeah. And that was Emmanuel Hassan, who joined us earlier in the show. And the reason why we're talking about the Chris Paul subject when it comes to offseason decision, he's got a player option for the 2021-2022 season, which would pay him, if you opt in, in excess of $44 million,
yes,
which is just a boatload of money.
Yes.
But there's some people that think, okay, the fit's been so great, Chris Paul would probably opt out and sign a longer-term deal for less annually but more money over the course of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Barkley made some jokes about it and said, could you ever say no to $44 million? There's valid arguments on both sides. And it really came to the forefront today, Bick, on The Athletic. John Hollinger, who, like Amino Hassan, is formerly with an NBA front office.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's writing on front office subjects for The Athletic. He went through all of the player and team option decisions for upcoming contracts this offseason in the NBA. And he leads it off with Chris Paul. Again, the value on that contract, $44.211 million. He writes, originally Drew Holiday was going to be on this list, but instead he replaced his player option with an extension for the Bucks. I mention Holiday because Chris Paul could do something similar between now and the beginning of August, opting into the final season at $44.2 million and then adding 2 years onto his deal at a likely lesser dollar amount negotiated between him and the Suns. Why 2 years? Paul is limited to this by the league's over 38 rule, which prevents teams from signing older players to excessively long contracts. This is to eliminate a former shenanigan where a team could pay a player near the end of his career on an absurdly long deal for less annual money in order to squeeze him under the cap. I had not read that anywhere else, quite honestly. It's also in Phoenix's interest to set up a contract for Paul this way because his salary will decrease right as DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges launch into big raises on contract extensions. For instance, an extension that gave him 2 years and $50 million would see Paul's salary decrease by almost the exact amount that Ayton presumably Max's deal increases, helping the Suns keep this team together while staying out of salary cap jail.
Right.
For these reasons, Hollinger projects Chris Paul opting in to 44.2, then getting the 2 year extension at that much more affordable rate.
Yeah.
To line up with Bridges and Ayton.
Okay,
which does make sense.
That does make sense, and I never quite looked at it that way. I just assumed that Chris Paul, being extremely financially wise and the head of the Players Association, he's got a responsibility to max out his dollars. Not that he needs it, but he's not in position to give anyone a hometown break. He's just not, because he's the head of the Players Association.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, that sounds like a great solution. Allow him to opt in at a huge wage and then get him for 2 more years after that at a lesser wage, so the dollars come out where he's looking them to be, but salary cap wise, it keeps everything intact.
Because
there's no point in doing this if you can't keep Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton at the same time. Just
sure.
No point at all. So I hadn't looked at it from that perspective. Again, the fly in the ointment to me is, what if the New York Knicks decide to give him an absurdly high offer. 3 years, $136 million, which is the maximum an outside team can offer Chris Paul. Now, would the Knicks go and offer that much money to a 36-year-old point guard? I don't know. I mean,
that's $40 million a year for 3 years.
It's
45 million.
45 million a year. Jeez. For three. Yeah, exactly. But Chris Paul has been that good this year, and the Knicks might go, that's exactly what we need now. But I don't even know if Chris Paul wants to go east. His family's in Los Angeles.
Never played in the Eastern Conference during the course of his career.
Right.
What comes up as a possibility, a fly in the ointment, or a factor in all of this to me is, what happens the rest of the postseason for the Suns? Is Chris Paul going to be satisfied ultimately with, let's say the Suns, they finish this.
Mm-hmm.
He wins a championship. He's a champion for the first time. Obviously, if he comes back for a year, they're one of the favorites to do it again next year. Agreed?
Yes, without a doubt.
Or at least in the mix, you know, the landscape is going to change. But does him getting one make him more apt to tap out and seek greener pastures somewhere else, or to come back and do it again? It just seems to me,
yeah,
like as we speak, Chris Paul's future it feels 100% to me like it should be in Phoenix.
I totally agree.
Everything has been done the right way. The fit has been perfect. The things that he said, the things that everybody else has said about Chris Paul, the results you see on the court, the position that they're in, it's hard to fathom him being somewhere else next year.
His relationship with Monty Williams,
yes,
having a guy like Devin Booker, that's all good stuff. Out of curiosity, remind me, did Jay Crowder sign a one-year deal?
Three.
Oh, that's good.
3 years, okay. $30 million.
Okay, that's good. And I like what Jay Crowder said about that. He said, I look like a genius, don't I?
There's a chance we're getting Jay on later on
yeah,
in the week.
Uh-huh.
I want to have a conversation about that quote, because I think I brought it up yesterday when we heard that quote. I think there's a lot of truth to that. And
mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of truth to that for Chris Paul and his situation. This level of, you know, verification now that what they felt about the Suns organization last offseason has paid off. They weren't wrong. And that has to be, in addition to everything else, and winning and being in this position, that's got to feel great.
I'll tell you, this is kind of funny because the Chris Paul news, it happened almost exactly 7 months ago to this day. November 16th, he signed with the Phoenix Suns. Seven months. Is all he's been here. And look at how fast things have changed around here. I was almost as surprised by the Jay Crowder signing because he was so influential in Miami's run to a title. And of all people, Pat Riley not recognizing the intangibles of him and thinking you could replace him with Trevor Ariza.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, uh-huh. And I know people that have watched Jay Crowder and during his infamous cold streaks wonder, is he really that good? The vibe he brings to the court is just out. He's a tough dude, and you've got to have those kind of guys. I completely agree with you that every single barometer points to him staying here. I don't think he wants to go to the East Coast. He said recently, I've spent my entire career in the West, and he said it as a point of pride.
Mm-hmm.
Does he really want to go make those grinding trips?
When you've achieved the optimum fit in your career, why do you want
to give it up?
Why do you want
right.
to take a chance?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And this is Chris Paul is not only exactly what the Suns needed. The Suns might be the perfect place for Chris Paul and his gifts.
But you said something very, very important in this. He's still not in a position to give a hometown discount.
No,
so it's
he's not.
Just because the fit is great and he wants to be here doesn't mean it's going to be cheap regardless of what you do.
Yeah.
Coming up next, some final thoughts on this Tuesday edition of Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata, Song of the Day.
All right, today's song of the day, Rock and Roll by Led Zeppelin, because it had been a long time since my band had rock and rolled before the weekend, but that's not why we're playing it.
It had been a long time. It had been a long time. It had been a long and long
lonely,
and
lonely,
lonely, lonely, lonely.
Also, because this is from Led Zeppelin 4, Sons in 4.
Whoa.
See what I'm doing here? That's what I did.
Yeah, the
this might be the most famous fourth album from a group.
Oh, you got me there.
There's a lot of great first albums by groups because bands have their entire lives to make their first album.
Yeah,
gets a little trickier after that.
That's what separates the good bands from the great bands.
Yep.
What was the Beatles' fourth album?
Oh, that's probably going to be right up there, too. I don't know.
Let's take a look here.
Let's take a look. See, this one, this was the first Led Zeppelin album I ever heard. In fact, Black Dog was the first Led Zeppelin song I ever heard. My next-door neighbor on the south side of Chicago, I was a little kid, calls me and he goes, dude, you got to hear this. And he puts this on his record player, and Black Dog starts in my jaw. Hit the floor.
According to Wikipedia, the Beatles released four albums from March 1963 to January 1964.
That's incredible. Are you serious?
Because Introducing the Beatles and Meet the Beatles were, like, one was for the U.S. and, it's a weird discography.
Yeah.
Bad left turn by me. Shame on me. Shame on me.
On Wikipedia.
Shame!
On Wikipedia, it says that Beatles for Sale is their fourth album. Solid Beatles album.
Okay.
Not like Led Zeppelin 4, which had Black Dog, Rock and Roll, Stairway to Heaven, some other stuff.
Depeche Mode came into their own on their fourth album.
Did they?
Yeah. First three albums.
Somebody points out Hysteria was Def Leppard's fourth album. That was pretty good.
Was that really their fourth album?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'm taking Corey Decker's word for it.
I trust Corey and his Def Leppard knowledge. In fact, if I've got a Def Leppard question, I'm going to him first.
You call him with your lifeline?
All right, there is today's song of the day.
Bickley and Murata going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
I start off the grid today with a little minor league news from the Diamondbacks organization. The Reno Aces last night, in the third inning of a game against the Las Vegas Aviators, they gave up 11 runs in the third inning.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, they trailed the game 12-6. Reno went on to win the game 21-16 in a game that featured 37 runs, 37 hits, and 6 errors.
Clearly, they've taken all the spider tack from the minor leagues and brought it up to the major league clubhouse.
Yeah. All the cork is still in the minor league.
That's right.
Well, and also, I looked at the box score, and like Josh Van Meter, who's been up with the Diamondbacks this year, had a monster game. And all these offensive numbers. But you look at the AAA level, at least, there's not really anything to get excited about for the Diamondbacks right now.
Right.
But could you imagine having an 11-run third inning and losing a baseball game by 5 runs? That's got to be some sort of record. I don't know. That just stood out to me. I got another interesting note. We're always looking for great excuses for failing drug tests in the world of sports. Did you see the one from the track and field?
No.
Shelby Houlihan is a former ASU Sun Devil, by the way, and she's the American record holder in the 1,500 and 5,000-meter events, posted on social media that she's been banned for 4 years following a positive test.
Wow.
She did her own investigation, retraced her steps, and she's traced the positive test back to a tainted pork burrito.
Really?
Yeah, she said, quote, "We concluded that the most likely explanation was a burrito purchased and consumed approximately 10 hours before that drug test from an authentic Mexican food truck that serves pig offal near my house in Beaverton, Oregon. I notified the AIU that I believed this was the source."
A tainted pork burrito.
Which is a great name for a band. You buying it?
Heck no.
Sometimes those work.
Yeah.
Look, are they testing for too much stuff if you can have a positive drug test from a pork burrito?
Yeah. And exactly what is that food truck putting in their pork burritos?
I don't know, but all this talk about pork burritos right
getting
now.
Getting hungry?
I would like to be testing positive for pork burrito in about 45 minutes. What do you say?
Sounds good to me.
All right, they will announce.
And by the way,
yeah,
you remember how much grief I took for calling Machaca Muchacha.
Oh, yeah.
I had the most incredible bowl of Machaca in Rocky Point.
Just
have you ever had it?
Machaca?
Yeah.
Oh, it's delicious.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know why I brought that up. I just remember I was in Mexico City, and I told you guys.
I drove you down the road of Mexican food on the mind.
You did. And I said, yeah, Vinny, I tried this incredible stuff this morning. It was Muchacha.
That's when you were calling in. That's you were with the Cardinals, right? Or the Suns.
Yeah, in Mexico City. Yeah.
Muchacha.
Yeah.
You did get raked over the coals.
Oh, I did. I certainly did.
Doesn't change your dining experience, though.
No.
They will announce the All-NBA teams tonight. We going to see the names Chris Paul and Devin Booker on one of those three teams?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think Chris Paul will be second team, and that will also be a joke. And Devin Booker will get third team, I hope. Those two better find a place in that three-tiered system.
Chris Paul fifth in the MVP voting. It's not out of the question
that
he could still be first team. You know how
he deserves it. I mean,
I think so with the season he had. But
yeah,
we looked at the numbers, and the numbers just weren't there.
Could you imagine if that guy wins a championship? What might come out of him? It's been, I mean, emotionally, he's an incredible player who's never played for one before.
No, it's only his second time in the Western Conference Finals.
Wow.
Nets, Bucks, going with the Bucks.
I'm going
at home.
Bucks, man.
I am too. It's going to be an interesting rest of the series. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to our guest, Amin Alhassan, for joining us. Thanks to you for listening. What do you say we do it again tomorrow at 10?
Yeah, I'll try not to lose this sexy, raspy voice, Vinny.
You're a freak, Vic. Burns and Gambo next.
Burns!